Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big old money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Scarlett Fu, she's not with us. We miss you, Scarlett. We'll see you again later this week. But we are talking soccer, and there are a couple of soccer stories that are out there that it's making the headlines. And with us, Bloomberg's Carolina Milan and Alex Webb, both from Bloomberg. Welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Let's start with Lionel Messi. And Carolina, this is what you wrote about, that soccer superstar or football superstar Lionel Messi is creating a holding company to invest in sports, media, and technology globally. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's very exciting news because, you know, there's been a lot of expectation, right, about what Messi's next moves might be. Of course, for now, everybody's focused on the World Cup, but certainly he's going to be, you know, looking to make waves in other ways in sports. And so what we know and what he launched last week is a holding company that is going to be investing in sports, media, and technology companies and companies that are in the intersection of all three.
So, you know, Alex, I wonder if you could help me out here, because for me, you hear a lot of athletes. I mean, I'll give you some examples. Michael Jordan with Sport Radar. You hear Chris Collinsworth with PFF. You know, a lot of, you know, former pro athletes have moved into the private sector, invested in, you know, sport technology companies and done rather well. But, you know, now you've got Kevin Durant, you've got Chris Paul, you've got Dwayne Wade. I mean, everyone is doing this. You know, what makes Lionel Messi different?
Well, have you noticed something with all those names you just mentioned? They're all American. And it is something I, in fact, just purely coincidentally, and this is going to be a clanging name drop, at least for Europeans out there. I interviewed Harry Kane, the England football captain, on Friday, and I mentioned the fact that Messi had just started or was getting into his own VC firm. And his comment was, in the US, people have been a lot better at this. That US American athletes have, for a long time, had a side hustle, been building their business on the sides. They've got something to go to when they retire. And, you know, our colleague Jason Kelly's got a whole video series on this called Athlete Empire. So the fact that, you know, obviously Messi is one of the best remunerated athletes in the world, he has plenty of capital to play with. Does he have any particular investment chops? I would hazard the answer is probably no. But if he can be something of a rainmaker when it comes to raising other external funds and casting a bit of light on his investments, then that's probably the advantage that he brings to the table.
When I asked Carolina more about Lionel Messi, you know, the holding company Playtime, it's based in San Francisco. What made him want to base it in San Francisco, the holding company? Because we usually think of Lionel Messi, we think of him in football and more overseas, but is the money here in the U.S.? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, when I was talking with sources about this story, something they mentioned too is that the other thought that was going around was that maybe his entry into the investing world and in the U.S. would be through Miami. You know, that's a very big hub for Latin Americans and you know, high net worth Latin Americans. And when we look at San Francisco, I think he's trying to make a point that he's going to be looking at the tech world, at the startup world, at companies that are right at their beginning. Although what we also know that he is looking into what they call stage agnostic opportunities. So what that means is that could be anything from seed investments for very, very small companies or companies that might be incubated through Playtime. And actually, two of the ones that they've already invested in, that he's already invested in, are of that stage. But what I was told is that he's also actually looking at potentially much larger investments that could even include whole sports teams. So I think to answer your question, Silicon Valley sends a strong signal, sends a strong flare that he is interested in that niche where sports meets technology.
You know, Alex, I wonder if we could talk about the timing of this decision, right? Because let's be clear, you know, Messi, you know, you'd have to go all the way down in terms of looking at the voting for the Ballon d'Or. I mean, he wasn't, he didn't finish like he has in years past. Obviously, he's announced that this is going to be his last World Cup in Qatar coming up in a few months' time. And so I'm just curious what your thoughts are on this. You know, I mean, is now the right time for Messi to be, you know, making this type of announcement, making this type of business endeavor? And, you know, what happens if, for example, you know, he finishes very poorly in the World Cup? What happens if, you know, PSG kind of drops out? What, I mean, you know, does anything matter from this point on in terms of how he performs on the pitch?
I think there are a lot of people out there, not just Argentina fans, who would like to see Messi crown his, you know, stellar career with a World Cup win. I don't honestly think that Argentina necessarily has a particular stellar team, with, you know, him being the main exception to that. That, of course, hasn't stopped not least Argentina in previous years from winning trophies when they really only had one, you know, top draw player. I frankly think that the timing on this is probably less to do with him and his retirement plans than it is, you know, who approached him, right? I'm sure that Razmik Hovigemian, who is the, you know, the person who is actually heading up this thing, I'm sure he pitched him the idea, right? And they've probably been talking about this for a little bit of time. And then he said, okay, well, let's pull the trigger and let's make it happen. And frankly, there isn't a huge amount of venture capital flowing around at the moment. You know, purse strings have been tightened as, you know, the yields have increased in the bond markets and elsewhere, which mean that actually the appeal of going into venture, which is high risk and low guaranteed and no guaranteed returns, if you are someone who has a bit of capital, therefore it might be an opportune moment to get into the space because you might be able to get slightly better deals. So I think, you know, that's probably got as much to do with it as anything to do with his own career ambitions.
If you allow me a thought, just to jump off from what Alex was saying. We know that one of the companies that are part of Playtime's investments, Matchday.com, which has Hovigemian, who is the person that will be running Playtime, he's also the co-founder of this startup, Matchday.com. The people around Messi have been very tight-lipped about what exactly the company is going to launch, what's actually the plan that comes with the startup. But what we do know is that they're planning to launch it before the World Cup begins in November. So that means that that's got to happen in the next few weeks. And so it seems to me that they're kind of paving the way to make a big announcement about this startup and to be able to say, here's one of the startups that Messi has invested in. And maybe to do that, they needed to make sure that people already knew that he had a VC firm that was, you know, starting to bet on specific soccer ventures.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
I'd like to weave another story in here, and this is to either Carolina or to Alex, and it's about the Super League project. Now, the last time this came up, This was April of 2021, and I thought I saw the great pumpkin rising from the pumpkin patch, and then I collapsed, and I asked Damien, hey, did I faint? And Damien said, no, you didn't.
Well, I was hanging over you, trying to give you CPR. But no.
And then, you know, it's the English Premier League says, nope, we're pulling out. And that was just like 2 days later when it first was launched. And then it all collapsed. But now, according to the new CEO of A22 Sports Management, the company promoting the revamp plan, and to either one, he's saying this is very much alive. And whoever wants to field this, go ahead.
I mean, I'll have a crack if Caroline doesn't want to go in. I mean, look, if the reason it didn't succeed before is because the English clubs didn't want to do it, then it seems fairly clear that, well, then you do it without the English clubs. And that seems to be what he's what they're therefore doing. You know, it was always sort of Barca, Real Madrid, and Juve who had really been pushing this. PSG didn't get involved, neither did Bayern Munich, who were the other kind of really big beasties in European football. And they have long been at a colossal financial disadvantage to the Premier League mm-hmm. teams, not just because of the broadcast rights, which are so much more valuable in the UK than they are elsewhere. That's fundamentally to do with the way that they have been negotiated for the past almost 30 years now, where there's essentially collective bargaining, where the other leagues were slow to catch up on that, and that's given them a huge head start. But it's also to do with the ownership structures, whereby we have more essentially sovereign wealth, and not least sort of natural resource sovereign wealth coming out of the Middle East, which is funding some of our top teams here in England. And so, you know, that is very hard to compete with when you're Barcelona, Real Madrid, and you can't you can't sell equity to fund your playing squad because you're owned by your fans, right? And so that means that your only access to outside capital is fundamentally through debt, and you have limits on how much debt you're allowed to raise because of the rules of your fan-based ownership. That means they can't write blank checks in the same way that, I mean, you know, I say hyperbolically, but write these massive checks that Manchester City or PSG or Newcastle United hypothetically might be able to do.
Well, and the other thing too is, and I will not mention the person I spoke to about this, but this person is very important in the soccer world, and we were talking about this. The way it was first presented about the Super League, quite frankly, it was all wrong because the fans just, you know, made a gnarly face. It's like, well, wait a minute. It's like, what are we doing here? And I'm just wondering if it was sold wrong in the beginning and now maybe they've learned their lesson and maybe they're going to try to promote this in a more proper way.
I mean, I think that like they would like to sell the idea that it was the messaging that they got wrong. I think certainly when it comes to the UK, the issue is deeper than that. But, they clearly didn't get the messaging. They didn't message it brilliantly, but I don't think that was the heart of the problem. And I think it would be something that they would be keen to promote. Now, if you can get some sort of Super League, which is, you know, those sort of big Italian and Spanish teams, then, you know, maybe you actually just end up with an Italian-Spanish league, which these sort of competitions existed in the past. You used to have like an, you know, British Isles Cup and various other things. Then ultimately it comes down to a sort of how many games can you get out of players in a given year. The underlying issue is that one of the reasons that football is so successful is also that there's so much more passion involved than in some other sports, and particularly, and I don't want to cast too many aspersions, US sports, and that's because there's relegation and promotion. So there's so much more at stake that if you have a bad season, you get relegated, and then you're in the doldrums for a few years. So that's why one reason why fans get so passionate about it. Whereas if you have a poor season in the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, you get top pick of the draft the next year. And so, it's kind of a bummer that you had a poor season, but there's always next year. Whereas like in European sport, there is not always next year if you've got relegated. And so if you create this sort of Super League structure, which doesn't have relegation or promotion, and they've alluded to there being maybe something akin to relegation and promotion in this, or qualifying in this new Super League proposition. But if you don't have that same upwards downwards movement, then it slightly denudes the sport. It makes it less interesting than it might otherwise be, and that in itself is a problem.
So, Carolina, I mean, it's been 3 years since I last visited you down in Buenos Aires, right? A lot has changed over the last 3 years. And for our audience, to be clear, Carolina is the bureau chief for Argentina, for our Buenos Aires office. So pleasure to have her here. But my question for you is this. I mean, what is going on the ground in Argentina? I mean, is the country ready for the World Cup? Is it going to be, you know, aired widely? Are people going to be able to watch, you know, Messi's games? Are they going to be able to see it? And more importantly, you know, when Messi's career is over, you know, do we expect him to come back to Argentina, to invest in the country, to be involved in government maybe perhaps, or in the private sector? I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Wow, lots of amazing questions. So let me take a stab at the first ones first. So as far as whether people are ready for the World Cup, oh, people have been waiting for this World Cup for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much excitement around it. The whole city is buzzing about it, and we're still several weeks away. I mean, for example, just to give you a feel for it, we're already at the point where you turn on the TV and there's ads for anything that you can imagine have to do with the World Cup. There was this amazing ad that was doing the rounds this weekend. It was a beer ad, but it was just like extremely touching because it was about how people were you know, trying to draw comparisons between the lead up to this World Cup and things that happened in 1986 when Argentina won the World Cup as well.
Maradona.
And so, exactly. And so, you know, I know that ad went totally viral, and because it just speaks to people, right, who want to believe that this is the year that Argentina wins the cup. I mean, and something else to mention here is that the pandemic was rough on Argentina, and you know, like so many other countries, the economy went into recession. It's been growing very slowly this year. It's still growing, but not that much. Inflation is expected to be 100% at the end of the year, and so I think people can do with some good news. People can do with some excitement. And, you know, with all of that, as you were asking me, how are people going to watch this, right? I mean, we are in a tough economic situation where people's wages are not catching up to inflation. And so, for example, last week, the government announced a plan where you can buy appliances, including TVs, in 30 installments. So that means you can pay for them in 30 months. If you ask me, that has to do with the World Cup, right? That has to do with the fact that, you know, people are thinking, for example, about upgrading their home TVs. In Argentina, there's a big culture of watching games with your friends in someone's house. You know, you'll gather some beers and everybody will get together and bring some snacks. It's a bit different from other places where I know people will their first thought will be, oh, I'll go to the bar. Here, it's more something you'll do like, it's like a family thing. It's like your closest friends. They'll all get together in a living room, all around a big TV. And so, you know, it's interesting there how the economic situation intersects with all the excitement that's brewing for this World Cup.
Well, I've been very sentimental with a couple of beers and me watching TV, but that's for another show. Carolina Milan, Alex Webb, Bloomberg's own, thank you all so much for talking football with us, and we really do appreciate it right here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Damian Sazo.
You can follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports, and Damian
at DSassauer on Twitter.
By the way, you can catch this show every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We talk to some of the biggest names in sports and some of the biggest people in Bloomberg who know the sport front and back, as you can tell by this podcast. By the way, you can download this show wherever you get your podcasts.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.